Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's have a good day around here, huh, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern time, 3 until 7 Pacific. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. A lot on the NFL this hour here on the show. Next hour, Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, NFL analyst, now is going to join us. He's always fantastic to break down the league with. I don't want to step all over Mraz's already broken heart, though, about his artwork. And so I want to put a bow on this because I don't want to add to the trauma of what happened. We just played this date in Mothership History from 2 years ago where Mraz unveiled a story that I had never known before, that he had a real passion for artwork when he was a kid, 7 or 8 years old, and brought home one of his proudest works that he got a really good grade on. And his parents, his mom, who was driving the car at the time, got into a fender bender and needed a piece of paper to write on the insurance claim number or some type of information from the opposing driver, and took Mraz's picture of a flower pot that he had really had a lot of pride in and ripped it in half and wrote on it. And this, Mraz believes, was the beginning of never having any interest in art ever again, and perhaps maybe the beginning of never taking anything in school very seriously ever again. And I had mentioned this is a type of trauma that, you know, you have to identify and work through when you are older so that you don't have that as an anchor weighing around your head anymore. Look, parents can be bad. I think we all know this. You can love your parents to death. They could be the most amazing people in your eyes, but they make mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes stay with you. And sometimes they teach you the wrong things because they are only human. And you have to grow up and realize what your parents did well and what your parents did not do well and try not to replicate that or allow that to be what is around your neck every day for the rest of your life. And so, Mraz, I call this trauma. I'm not joking about this, but Kaplan behind the scenes is laughing that this is not trauma, but for you, you know that it is, correct?
Of course it is. And I thought maybe he just thought the word was wrong. You're traumatized by things that shaped you. That was a traumatic experience for me. Like, that is the only word to use. And I understand all these years later that it is funny if you could kind of get over it, but there's no doubt that it absolutely scarred me and had impressions on me that ruined part of what could have been my life. That's all I'll say. So, like, the fact of the matter is, I'm here working in the radio business, right? Like, I don't know where my life could have taken me if that moment didn't happen. I might have done something in an art field. I might have. I may not have, but I may have. And there's no doubt that the course of my life was altered in some way that day. And that is trauma.
And also that it was a pain. There is a sadness, there was a pain. It wasn't just that it was a pivotal moment in your life where you decided one way or the other. It was that you had felt like something you put value in had no value from your parent. And do you think this was the first red flag that your parents, specifically your mom, would not prioritize your education or things that you did in school.
So I probably obviously didn't know that at 6'7", but in hindsight, I would say yes. I mean, how could you not think that? And I think what's more troubling, too, when we got so lost there, it's the doubling down, right? Because clearly I was hysterically crying. Clearly I was upset. And rather than be, like, consoled or talk too nicely about, hey, look, things happen in life. Sorry, this was a pinch. I didn't get a sorry. I got a deal with it. There's bigger things going on right now. It wasn't that great anyway. So basically I was left to cry for, like, 6 days after that. Because my mom was all in a tizzy and she didn't comfort me the right way. You know, it's one thing, she threw a pick and then decided that we were going to get stomped at and blown out afterwards. It was bad.
Could you imagine the shoe on the other foot where you are driving Taylor around and she just did finger painting at preschool or something like that, and you get into a fender bender and you take the finger painting and you tear it in half in front of Taylor and write on it? Would you ever do that?
No, I will not make the same mistake. I'll make my own mistakes, but I'm not going to make the same mistakes my parents made. There's no way. Absolutely not. I'd frame it.
Yesterday was a brutal day. Speaking of trauma for New York football fans, The Jets are a disaster. The Giants are a disaster. And the only question is, which Gotham team is worse?
9, 2nd and 6 from the Niners 41 for Daniel Jones and company. Back to throw, throws one right, completes it to Slayton inside the 20, and then he fumbled the football, and it's recovered by the Niners.
I'm going to reserve a lot of analysis of the game until I have a chance to thoroughly review the tape and go over everything we're doing. I'm going to work the rest of the night doing that. We're not going to go ahead and postpone anything we have to go get working on. But obviously, we all have to do our job better. Starts with coaching better, and we got to make sure we put the players in the right position.
Sets up, throws right side, it's picked off! The Colts are running the other way with it at the 20. T.J. Carey, and Carey turns it all the way in to a pick six. Two of them on the day for the Colts. Touchdown, Indy.
Obviously didn't play well enough today. Didn't execute well enough. Obviously the turnovers cost us big time.
So that was Giants radio and Joe Judge after the loss. That was Colts radio and Adam Gase after the loss. Personally, they're both embarrassing. This is a true low moment, a low point in New York football history, the fact that both teams are so incredibly bad. I will still say the Jets is a worse situation because yesterday the Jets again quit in the first quarter. They just don't look like they have any interest in playing football for Adam Gase. And Adam Gase is now in year number 2. So I still think the situation with the Jets is worse because the Jets at least had some outside designs, an outside chance of being competitive this year in a division where we thought the Patriots would be kind of, they would come back down to earth and that the rest of the AFC East might rise up. The Bills are doing their part. The Dolphins and the Jets really aren't doing their part, but at the very least, I don't think the Giants are quitting. I just think they're really bad. I think the roster's really bad, and I don't think the coaching's very good. In terms of who they lost to yesterday, the worst loss in terms of the opponent is the Niners, because the Niners were without a host of their starting players, including their starting quarterback, and not only one, but won by a landslide. It wasn't even a close game. So that's the more humiliating loss in terms of the opponent. The Colts are healthy and they're a pretty good football team. The Niners are a walking wounded, are a MASH unit, and the Giants still, at home, got blown out by the Niners' JV squad. But I still think in terms of how dark it is on the horizon, it's much darker in Jets land right now. But I had to laugh yesterday. You know, on Friday, we were talking about how the Niners were going to play the Giants, and I said Niners by 40, kind of flippantly. And Mraz said, come on, D.A. Are you kidding me? The Niners are all banged up. I've got the Giants in one of my suicide leagues. I got the Giants in one of my knockout pools. So you got to be kidding me. Well, Giants by 20, fine. I'll give them more respect. Niners by 20. But I was laughing at this idea that the Giants were some type of value on the money line. I'd heard this other places as well, that the Giants could beat the Niners. I said, you got to be kidding me. What team have you been watching over the first 2 weeks? I know the games were technically close against the Bears and the Steelers, but they weren't a good football team. And going into yesterday's game against the Niners, Nick Mullins is not a bad backup quarterback. He's proven that in the past, and he's not a huge drop-off from Jimmy G. Also, Kyle Shanahan's just a superior coach right now to Joe Judge. And the Niners, even with their injury, still have a better roster than the Giants. I think this is a hard thing for Giants fans to come to grips with. The roster with the Giants is so bad. Dave Gettleman has built such a bad roster that even the Niners JV team is better than the Giants varsity. That's just a fact of the matter. And not only are they better as a roster, they're much better, as evidenced by yesterday that the Niners have to come all the way east for a 1 o'clock kick and still beat the snot out of the Giants. So while the horizon's darker for the Jets, the loss yesterday was really humiliating for the Giants. The Jets don't want to play for Adam Gase. That much is clear. He's got to be fired. It's done. It's over. For the Giants, I mean, Giants fans are living in la-la land. I think the Jets fan has already given up. They know that Gase is a bozo. He's going to be fired. They don't know about Sam Darnold. They've already given up. Giants fans, I mean, it's kind of amazing the delusion that they're living in, that somehow Joe Judge, because he makes this offensive coordinator run laps, is somehow this kind of disciplinarian that's going to change everything around. I mean, the stuff that I heard last week that the Giants actually had stuff to build on, I mean, what are you seeing? What are you watching? I'm sorry, Mraz, I can't believe you thought yesterday was a knockout pool type of day for a terrible Giants team.
So let me just try to start this calmly by saying, well, first of all, the Niners, as great as they were, they did stay in West Virginia all week, so it's not like they had to come West Coast to East Coast. They were well-adjusted to the time after playing the Jets. That being said, the Niners had nobody left, EA. This was as much about the Niners as it was about the Giants, the thought process going in. The Giants did not have Sterling Shepard or Saquon Barkley, obviously, but they still, in theory, were a team that through 2 weeks had the fourth-ranked defense in the NFL. They had the fourth-ranked defense in the NFL through 2 weeks. So, of course, there was some stuff to hang your hat on. That was the thing that was supposed to be so awful for the Giants, and obviously yesterday we saw how freaking exposed it was. But there was reason to believe. But what happened and what unfolded on the field versus this 49er team with Brandon Ayuk and Nick Mullins basically looking like it's, you know, T.O. and Steve Young at times yesterday was a freaking disgrace. And the fact remains how backwards this Giant organization is, that they allowed that to unfold yesterday when you start looking up and down the schedule and praying and hoping for wins. Because if the Bears were in a win in week two and Nick Mullins and the Niners are in a win in week three, well, what do they do? Lose by 50 to the Rams next week, 30 to the Cowboys the following week? They've had seasons here that have been bad where they've won 5 games, 6 games. And I know that they have a new head coach, and I'm not trying to throw this on Joe Judge because it's an impossible situation with no preseason and no mini camps or no anything. But where are the wins going to come if yesterday was not even a loss, but that embarrassing a loss? And I don't know how John Mara could sit up in his stupid box today, wherever he is. I don't know. Maybe he's working from home. Fine. And look at this team and look at what happened and not be able to judge it because no fans in the stands on how many fans care and understand that you hired Dave Gettleman out of comfortability. You didn't want to step outside of your box. And now because you didn't get rid of him last year, you made a bold hire in Joe Judge. So are you stuck with Gettleman now and the garbage he keeps putting together on the roster because you can't bring in another GM who's going to want a new head coach? I mean, how backwards an organization is this now? They're so lost. They got no talent, nothing. And worst of all, they're having Daniel Jones regress now. The guy's fixed the fumbles and throws interceptions every other pass. I'm losing my freaking mind. I'm losing my mind. I'm watching games with Giant fans who don't even care or laughing during the game as I'm throwing White Claw cans across the freaking bar. It's ridiculous.
Well, I know that the Giants have broken you because, you know, up until Friday, you were optimistic. Oh, this is going to be a win. I like Joe Judge. I believe this. Daniel Jones is the future. And then by 3:20 p.m. Eastern time, I saw this tweet come across my timeline from you. All caps. How many damn years are we supposed to suffer through garbage football? How many? Double question mark. Every Sunday I fall for the banana in the tailpipe. They stink. This was one of only multiple tweets that had full caps. Quote, how many more years will Dave Gettleman be allowed to construct a roster, John? How many? Taking a direct shot at John Mara. Punting down three touchdowns with 12 minutes left. Hey, Joe Judge, you take a lap. These are all capitals, all caps, double exclamation points, double question marks. Yesterday was a breaking point for you, wasn't it?
I couldn't do it anymore. You know why, DA? Because what got me hyped was at least they were bad, but they were playing hard and there was hope on the horizon. And I hate having hope on anything in life, only to be just cut down at the knees. I woke up yesterday excited, not because I think the Giants are any good, and not because I had any dreams about this being a miraculous playoff season, but I woke up excited because I had hope and a chance that for 3 hours, I could sit my ass in a freaking bar stool at Bob's Bar and go, you know what? We're going to score some touchdowns today. We're going to play hard. And I think we have a shot to at least win this game in the fourth quarter. Think about the bar being lowered. I've seen them win Super Bowl 42 and 46. And my hope and optimism yesterday was we're playing a bunch of backups. And I think we got a real shot here in the fourth quarter. And by 2:30 in the afternoon, they might as well have just called off the game. The turf was bad anyway, right? Everybody walked off the field. There was no use in playing ever again because Daniel Jones doesn't know where the hell he's throwing the ball. Nobody on defense can stop the run. I mean, Jarrett McKinnon hasn't played a game in 2 years. 2 years the guy's been out with knee injuries. He's running up and down the field like he's Barry Sanders, maybe 49. Okay, he's Garrison Hurst. Who cares? He was unbelievable yesterday. Tight ends? No George Kittle, no problem. Come on down. Jabril Peppers sucks, too. You talk about a first-round pick that's supposed to stay. Oh, he's going to change the game. Punt return to defense. Oh, look what we got for Odell Beckham Jr. He's terrible. They can't hit the quarterback. They're always a second too late. They can't run the ball. I mean, Devonta Freeman had a 4-yard run yesterday. My jaw dropped. I was like, wow, I haven't seen a run like that in forever. I mean, that's the kind of in-between tackle stuff we've been missing. The team is awful. Top to bottom, awful. And the NFL, where you could go from worst to first so quick, they feel like they're 43 players away from being competitive for a seventh wild card. That's how bad they are. It's awful, and I'm so tired of doing it. Every year around this time, I'm yelling and screaming on a microphone, and every year I wake up with hope. There's something mentally wrong with me. I'm a mentally disturbed individual that I keep doing this every single year, and I'm going to be handing out Halloween candy again with the season toast. Toast! We haven't even played one MLB playoff game yet, and the Giants have ripped up anything with an extra playoff spot in the league. They suck!
Also, we thought that the Jets had this kind of beeline to Trevor Lawrence. Let me tell you something. The Giants might be in line for Trevor Lawrence as well.
Oh, we're in a mix.
While the Jets have quit, the Giants are that putrid. So this is a combined like 4 wins in New York this year. And they're going to be battling it out, a pair of 2-14 teams going into week 17 with tiebreakers on the line. Who is going to end up with the number one team, number one pick in the draft? And that's also going to kill you on this Patriots thing, that there's just simply no way that the Patriots could ever be worse than both the Giants and the Jets.
No, and then you have Washington who stinks, Atlanta stinks. The Patriots are going to be picking at least 15th at this point. I mean, this is a joke. How many bad football teams are there? And everybody's got an excuse after the game. Enough of watching the tape, too. How about, I don't want to hear about tape anymore. How about, did you watch the game for 3 hours? Because we all did. I don't need to review any tape this week to know who sucked and who didn't. Well, what the heck kind of excuse was that in a soundbite from Joe Judge? I know it's not his fault, but, let's review the tape. The tape. We got our ass kicked.
Well, it's partially his fault. He's the coach of a team that just got waxed by a bunch of backups from San Francisco.
Oh, clean house.
When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Get him out.
Get him out. Get him out.
Get him out.
Get him out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday morning. Thanks so much for dropping on by. Sunday, to the NFL on CBS doubleheader with Brady's Bucks hosting the Chargers and two of the AFC's best going toe-to-toe when the Steelers take on the Titans. In the second game, most of you is going to see Cam and the Patriots and KC for a meeting with Mahomes and the Chiefs. Coverage begins with the NFL today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Lots to get to this morning on the show. We've got the full day in the NFL to break down as we continue to do that. Also, we'll talk about Mike Leach's unbelievable debut in the SEC. And in about 20 minutes, we've got a discussion on the NBA Finals preview. Last night, the Heat eliminating the Celtics. And now LeBron will take on his former team, the Miami Heat, Lakers in Heat. Game one coming up in the NBA Finals. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. On Twitter, Ralph, DA, tell Mraz, damn. Tell us how you really feel. Robin Topeka tweets, please, please, please let this Mraz rant of the Giants go on for the next 2 hours.
Toast! Toast!
Michael tweets, I can't believe that Mraz picked the Giants to win yesterday. It's clear that the two New Jersey teams are the worst teams in the NFL. My son's JV could be inside the Giants, could be with the Giants, or could beat the Giants, rather. LOL.
They suck!
Kind of bizarre that you picked them in a knockout pool of all places. I mean, that was so stupid.
I backed out Sunday morning on that.
Oh, okay. So talking tough on Friday, you finally got wise on Sunday morning.
No, I just said it because if they do lose, I don't need double the aggravation. So I backed out. I did have them plus 3.5 in a parlay that would have paid out nicely yesterday. So, and they were the only leg that didn't hit. So that burned enough. But no, luckily I didn't have them in a knockout.
Okay. Well, standing by with our headline this morning is dessert coordinator Brad Heller. Heller, good morning.
Good morning, DA. This report sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $600, $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Six teams are 3-0, including the Packers that beat the Saints in New Orleans in the Sunday night game 37-30. Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees both with 3 touchdown passes in this one. Sean Payton and the Saints dropped to 1-2.
You're frustrated as a coach because that starts with us, and we've got to do a better job. We've got to, you know, get ready to play a better game against Detroit. That's our industry. You know, we're 1-2 right now, and it's been a while since we've felt that, and yet 3 years ago we were 0-2.
The Bills are 3-0. They beat the Rams 35-32. What a game this was. Buffalo blowing a 28-3 lead. Josh Allen, who had 5 total touchdowns of the day, hit Tyler Kroft for the game winner with 15 seconds to go.
Going up 28-3, as a team, we got to be better. We got to make sure that we're keeping our foot on the pedal, and we got to put that game away. You know, I'm very happy with how resilient this team was, but I'm also a little mad at myself for allowing us to kind of dip right there and not, you know, executing like we should have. I put the ball in harm's way too often.
Allen did have 311 yards passing, 4 touchdown passes, and a touchdown run. The Bears are 3-0. They beat the Falcons 30-26. Nick Foles coming off the bench to replace Mitchell Trubisky. He threw 3 fourth quarter touchdown passes. The Falcons are 0-3. They're the first team in NFL history to lose back-to-back games while blowing leads in the fourth quarter of at least 15 points in each one. Russell Wilson, 5 touchdown passes. Seahawks beat the Cowboys 38-31. Seattle's 3-0. Wilson, 14 touchdown passes through the first 3 games. That is an NFL record. The Titans and the Steelers are also 3-0. The Titans edge the Vikings 31-30. Steelers beat the Texans 28-21. Houston is 0-3. Buccaneers over the Broncos 28-10. 3 touchdown passes for Tom Brady. Tampa's 2-1. New England's 2-1. Pats over the Raiders 36-20. The Lions ending an 11-game losing streak going back to last season. They beat the Cardinals 26-23 on a Matt Prater field goal on the final play. The Panthers snapping a 10-game losing streak. They topped the Chargers 21-16. Bengals and Eagles ending in a 23-all tie. The Heat beat the Celtics 125-113 in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to the finals to face the Lakers. Here's Jimmy Butler.
I've said it time and time again. I believe in our group. I know that we can still win 4 more. We're not satisfied. We're not complacent. We know we got a really good team to go up against. We can enjoy it for tonight, but we said this from the beginning of the year.
Bam Adebayo led the Heat a season-high 32 points, also 14 rebounds. Game one, Heat and Lakers will be on Wednesday. Baseball playoffs start tomorrow. The American League playoffs, Rays and Blue Jays in the 1-8 matchup, A's White Sox in the 2-7, Twins Astros and Indians Yankees. The National League matchups for Wednesday, the Dodgers and the Brewers, who got in thanks to losses, Phillies and Giants, Braves, Reds in the 2-7, Cubs, Marlins in the 3-6, the Padres, Cardinals in the 4-5. Ron Renicke won't be back as Red Sox manager next season. The Angels fire GM Billy Epler. This story is just bonkers. Joe Montana and his wife preventing a home intruder from kidnapping their 9-month-old grandchild on Saturday in Malibu. The woman fled the home but was later arrested.
Imagine just hanging around the house, grandkid is sleeping in the other room. A woman just walks into your home, middle-aged woman, I think she was like 40 years old, walks right into your home, goes right into the baby's room, grabs the baby, just starts walking out with the baby. Like, that is incredible that that would happen, especially in Malibu. I mean, it's not exactly a rough area. I mean, and so Joe Montana realizes, oh, there's somebody taking the grandkid, and then has to pursue the woman within the house. They get her into a different room and then somehow subdue her and get the baby back. And then I guess the woman fled, right? They haven't apprehended the woman yet, or have they?
They have, and she has been arrested. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right.
And if that wasn't stunning enough, prepare to be even more stunned right now.
Stunned to a new!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
They take their fishing competitions in Utah really, really seriously.
Uh-huh.
Two men were accused of cheating in a largemouth bass fishing tournament on Lake Powell. In this tournament, $2,500 was the prize to be awarded to the team that turned in the five fish with the highest total weight. Now, this team of two guys won the prize for the overall biggest fish, but this fish, this bass, did not look like the others. So tournament officials started this lengthy investigation. This story is from the Times. The investigation lasted 7 months. They called a biologist. They called in wildlife resources to perform tests on the fish, which determined after 7 months that this bass actually came from a reservoir about 200 miles away. Now, this tournament was in 2018. Earlier this year, the two men were charged with a third-degree felony and misdemeanor, and last month, so almost 2 years after the tournament, where finally the penalties came down, a $500 fee, $2,500 in restitution, 24 months probation, and 48 hours of community service, all for trying to cheat their way to a win in a largemouth bass fishing tournament in Utah.
And it was only worth $2,500. It wasn't like they were going out and winning a $1 million purse or $200,000.
Exactly.
They did all of this for $2,500 bounty, and it took 2 years to adjudicate this thing. How do you not just take one type of DNA sample or something, and a local ecologist goes, "Yeah, no, that's not from our lake. No, that's not from this lake. That's..." And how long, how much gray area, what has to happen here, Merez, for them to finally just go like, yeah, you guys definitely cheated on this.
Yeah, and I would also say, you know, for $2,500, how much did they spend to, you know, fix this as far as investigating it? It has to be well north of $2,500. So then I would ask, is them cheating, is the juice really worth the squeeze of investigating this much and putting this many resources into it? Don't you just kind of question it, and you always give it a little bit of an asterisk, right? Like the steroid era in baseball going forward. Don't you always come back and go, yeah, but remember that year Jimmy and John did this? I don't know about that. It was fishy. I don't think it happened.
The Lake Powell Tournament Committee have to be like, look, it's a $2,500 purse. We either give it to them or we're going to be wrapped up in $20,000 worth of legal fees over the next 2 years.
Makes no sense.
Just give it to them.
If you cheat that good at something that financially it's not worth the fight back, you deserve to win. That's the way I would look at it.
I can't believe they could take a fish from 200 miles away and they couldn't immediately identify, yeah, this is not from this lake. That just seems impossible. 200 miles away is a long drive. That's a really long drive to get a mix up on a fish. Thank you, Heller.
All right, guys.
Brad had mentioned that bills and this is a saltwater fish. He had mentioned that Bills and Rams game. I mean, boy, the Bills were blowing out the Rams 28-3. The Bills looked like they were going to cruise to a victory, and then it all went to hell in a handbasket. The Rams took the late lead. Josh Allen turned into Josh Allen. You know, it's funny. This is why I still have a very difficult time establishing Josh Allen as one of the better young quarterbacks in the NFL. He just does two or three things per game that terrify me and go, like, I still can't trust him. But he looked really good up until 28-3 and then really bad after that. So you've got the full Josh Allen experience all in one game. And then late, I mean, that pass interference call that extends that drive for the Bills and puts them on the doorstep to win on that final throw, that final touchdown, that's a terrible call. And I know the Rams, look, you put yourself in a huge hole 28-3. Bellyaching about the refs is not the best look. But, Mraz, that was an awful call to extend that game. And the Bills got a huge gift.
It's atrocious. And look, that one obviously stands out. Nobody's going to feel bad about the Rams having a pass interference call that go against them after they got into a Super Bowl because of one. I understand that, so maybe we don't need to hear the Sean McVay and the Rams complain about a pass interference today. I'm sure a Saint fan is rolling their eyes. But a common theme I have noticed through 3 weeks in the NFL, man, these refs aren't putting their flags in the pocket. It's almost like with no preseason and what's going on, there has been a lot of asserting refs in games, a lot of stuff I've watched that it just feels like, I don't know why the refs need to feel like they're so involved, and maybe it's some of the sloppy play. I don't know what's up. I think missing the preseason's hurt, but yesterday, that's atrocious because that is the game of the afternoon. That comeback and rally was insane. You're on the edge of your seat. If it wasn't Bengals-Eagles, you were locked into that. And to have it end that way and feel like you don't get an honest winner is just, it's brutal. But like you mentioned, you can't go down 28-3 on the road, come back, and then be bellyaching that the refs are the reason you lost. Maybe don't put yourself in that hole to begin with.
Yeah, and for the Bills, they'll take the win. They'll take being 3-0. They still lead the division. But that one in the fourth quarter has to worry you because, again, Josh Allen turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And Sean McDermott's usually stout defense was getting torched. And I think there might be some question marks about whether the Bills' defense is actually a very good defense.
Right.
It might be okay. It might not be very good. They've got a really good reputation. I'm not so sure that the Bills' defense is as good as this reputation.
Probably true. But I think in the end, you still got to give the Bills a lot of credit because that's a legitimate Super Bowl contender that came into their building and they took a 28-3 lead on it, ended up being able to hold them off. And even if their defense collapsed, the fact that Josh Allen, who's had a lot of suspect moments and had suspect moments yesterday, was able to navigate that offense enough where they could score with teams that can score, I think is another positive sign in the direction and the arrow pointed up on the Buffalo Bills as far as getting themselves to that next stage of legitimacy.
It's true, and isn't it interesting that basically the Minnesota Vikings tried to send Stephon Diggs to Siberia when he was all upset about his contract, and they were like, okay, you want to trade? We're going to send you to Buffalo. Ha-ha! And the Bills are 3-0. Stephon Diggs had 150 yards plus receiving yesterday, and his former team, the Vikings, are 0-3 and skidding. Stephon Diggs has got to feel good. Let me tell you, in a loss, Aaron Donald still, to me, is one of the must-watch, must-see things in the NFL every single week. He is as close as we have had ever to Mean Joe Green, who is probably the most destructive interior defensive force that the NFL has ever seen. Mean Joe Green played over top of the center as a defensive interior defensive lineman, not a defensive end. So when you think about, say, Reggie White coming off the end, J.J. Watt coming off the edge, those are edge rush guys that are usually coming from a wide side, sometimes blocked by only one blocker. Sometimes the guard will shift left or shift right, but they're coming from the edge with some space. On the interior, to disrupt quarterback play and to be in the backfield is really difficult because you're running into a wall of guys consistently. And so Mean Joe Green is, by and large, the greatest interior defensive lineman ever in the NFL's history. We've had some good ones since. Warren Sapp was really good. Cortez Kennedy was really good. Those are Hall of Famers. But on the interior, we have not had a destructive force like Aaron Donald, I don't believe, since we had Mean Joe Green. Reggie White played on the interior at times, but mostly played to the outside, where, of course, there was more space and he could destroy quarterbacks easier. Aaron Donald is the strongest guy on the line, and he's also the fastest guy on the line. This combination is insane. And yesterday, it was as though whatever he wanted to do, he would do. He was just picking up Bill's offensive line and throwing them into the backfield and just tossing them into Josh Allen. He was creating fumbles. He was strip sacking. He was sacking. He was destroying the running back. I'm telling you, Mraz, this is so extraordinary, and so many people will never really understand how great he is because you don't watch interior defensive right. line play. But his ability to destroy the opposing backfield from the interior is just a sight to behold every single Sunday. And he did it again yesterday.
And DA, in Hard Knocks this year, they tried to highlight how much Aaron Donald's become basically the teacher of the Rams offense defensive line. And he had all these little moments where he's like, okay, all you got to do is move your hand here. He makes it look so easy, and these like seventh round picks are looking at him going, what are you talking about? You just move your hand here. He doesn't even understand his own power. And I got news for you. You think Aaron Donald's had this great career and he's Mean Joe Green? He is going to have the greatest afternoon of his life on Sunday against the Giants interior offensive line. There is a chance Aaron Donald breaks the single game sack record for a defensive lineman.
He has eight sacks. He breaks Derek Thomas's record of seven.
He could break Derek Thomas's record on Sunday. I'm telling you, Ken, Nick Gates at center line over, it is going to be a massacre on Sunday when Aaron Donald takes on the Giants offensive line.
When we return, the NBA Finals are set as the Heat outlast the Celtics last night in game number six, and the Lakers are waiting. We'll preview LeBron versus the Heat. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
One of the most respected voices in sports television, James Brown.
Mr. DA, that is as big time an opening on the show with the musical composition and the voice as I have ever heard. That's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks very much, JB.
Did you have a hand with your gifts and talents? Give some significant input on that?
I'm a big 1970s soul and funk guy, and so I asked the production team.
That was clear. I love that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Funky. Every single morning here on CBS Sports Radio Hour. Toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The DA Show is available in podcast form as well, so listen to us by downloading your favorite podcast episodes of it. Listen to us whenever you want to listen to us. Just on any given podcast platform, all your favorite ones, search The DA Show. Subscribe to it. You'll get automatic downloads of the show, and rate and review us if you have the time. That helps other people find it. The DA Show is on demand, both full episodes and the best of available every single day. Last night, game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. It would go no further as after a game five comeback by the Celtics seemed to give them some life. The fourth quarter was all Miami Heat.
Iguodala back to Butler. Double team. Bounce pass into Bam. Bam. Nowhere to go with it. Out to Robinson for three. Robinson from downtown. Miami up 119-104.
A lot of guys in our locker room have been told that they're less than. They're the anti-AAU or New Age analytics where you're trying to figure out what a player can do statistically. These guys just want to compete. They just want to roll the ball out and play and compete and fight for it.
That was Heat Radio on the call. That was Eric Spoelstra after the win. There are so many things to applaud the Heat for. And I don't even care if the Heat gets swept by the Lakers. And I don't care if every game they lose by 30 to the Lakers. They're already so far ahead of their growth curve. They're already so, I think, impressive in what they've built and what they've accomplished that they don't need to do anything else. I'm sure they believe they can beat LeBron and the Lakers. I'm sure they don't feel like this is as high as they can go. And I'm sure they don't feel like their work is over here. But I'm telling you this right now. By virtue of just getting here, the Heat have defied all odds and made this season special and showed why that is one of the best organizations in sports. Pat Riley continues to remake a roster. Think about Pat Riley's Miami Heat resume. He leaves the Knicks in the mid-90s to take over the Heat. And he begins by assembling one of the toughest, hardest working, most physical groups that continually gets to the playoffs and is a tough playoff out. Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, that group. They never get to an NBA Finals. They run into the Bulls. They run into the Knicks. The Knicks are really their Achilles heel in the playoffs. But boy, are they intense and they're strong and they've got really good seasons every year. Then he transitions out of that and they bring in Shaq and they draft Dwayne Wade. And they go to the NBA Finals. They win an NBA championship in 2006. And again, they have a run of success. They then rip that apart and they rebuild with Wade and Bosch and LeBron and have a four-year run for the ages. Then that dissipates and they've built this team that's going back to the NBA Finals. It's remarkable. And I kind of wish AB was here today because Bogus has been the ultimate Celtics apologist. But here's the thing about the Celtics. Oh, they're so young. Oh, the window's still so open. Oh, the future is so bright. Oh, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Oh, they're in their early 20s. There's going to be so many more years of competitiveness with the Celtics. Blah, blah, blah. Fine. Yeah. Tatum, Brown, very good. You know what they weren't? Better than Jimmy Butler. You know what they weren't? Good enough to beat a five seed. You know what they weren't? Again, good enough to get out of the East without LeBron James in their way. The fact is, while the Celtics' window is so open, they're so young, so is the Heat. I mean, that's the thing. The Heat are already better than the Celtics, and they're super young. Yes, we look at Jimmy Butler as the guy that kind of changed everything, but Tyler Hero isn't legally able to drink yet. He's 20. And the best player on the floor last night was Bam Adebayo, 32-11. And again, he's just as young as Tatum and Brown. In fact, he's younger. And you just heard a big three by Duncan Robinson. This is a G League undrafted kid. The fact is that the Heat are everything the Celtics wish they were, but better and still young. They were better coached in this matchup. Eric Spoelstra was a better coach than Brad Stevens. They were deeper. They had more guys that could contribute. They had the better alpha male in Jimmy Butler. And when push came to shove, they could close. The Celtics held leads and then blew them, whereas the Heat were great in the fourth quarter and to close. I don't know what anybody else is watching here, but that's all I need to see out of the Miami Heat to applaud them for a season well done. They're great, and they're only supposed to get better. And Pat Riley's big experiment this year was to be good enough to convince another star to come to Miami to play alongside Jimmy Butler. Hey, see, we've already got some pieces. We've already got your running mate. Now let's bring in the big dog. Imagine this Heat team brought in a big dog. Imagine this Heat team added a superstar. How great they could be. In fact, I don't even know if you want to do that because this Heat team plays so well with one another. They just really, to me, held up a mirror to how ridiculous all of the Celtics pom-pom waving is. We just keep hearing how Danny Ainge built this great roster. They're going to be around for a really long time. And they've got all this youth and Tatum and Brown, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Heat have all of that, didn't draft their guys to the top three picks like Tatum and Brown, and have the better coach and the better roster right now. I don't know. and they're young. The Heat, bravo. What a run this has been for a 5 seed all the way to the NBA Finals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.